In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it is good to be back at Trinity after 2 weeks of vacation. Being away with family was wonderful and restful. And before I tell you where we went, I will say how we planned it, how we got there. When we planned it, we asked the same question that we often do, which is, do we want to visit cities and busy places where there's lots to do? Or do we want to go to a quiet, natural place like the mountains or the beach where we can just sit for a bit? And by we, I mean usually I want to go to the cities and everybody else wants to go somewhere else. That's how it works. It's a Sabbath question. What feeds our souls when it is time to slow down and rest? What places and activities reconnect us to the source of life? So this year we chose a trip that was more on the easy end of the scale. We went and explored northern Michigan. We hiked and we kayaked a little bit, but mostly we just relaxed. It was not deserted per se, but it was deserted enough. Though what feeds my soul sometimes me isn't just the downtime so much as the hum of activity that I get from visiting a great city. Not that Cleveland isn't great, I realize. But, you know, when we go off on the grand adventures to New York or Chicago or Florence, God is present in those places as well, in part because that's where humans have come together to build art and industry and community. Yet there seems to be something particular about the grace that we find in those secluded places. Jesus escapes to the deserted places because that's where he finds peace from the demands of all those who are looking for him or needing him or just needing to be healed. Of course, Jesus doesn't get a whole lot of time off by himself. That's part of the gospel as well. Because when they ultimately do find him, he sees them and he has compassion for them. And he is moved to care for them. Jesus withdrew to a deserted place by himself. Now, introverts the world over, and I am one of them, will read this passage and say, yep, I get it. I see what's going on. Jesus is clearly an introvert, and he needs a little bit of me time to recover from all of those crowds clamoring for his attention. I want to believe this is the case. I really do. We all want to look at Jesus and see ourselves in him. But I don't actually think that this passage is about typing Jesus on the Myers-Briggs scale. I think that Jesus went to a deserted place because that is where he found the wellspring. That is where he found, or rather returned to, the source of life and grace and even compassion that revived his soul and allowed him to be a vessel for healing for the crowds who then found him. Our souls, you see, are living things, and they must be tended and nourished and refreshed. And to have energy to give others, we must remember to tend to our own spirits, lest we become overwhelmed by what in modern parlance we call compassion fatigue. Lest we burn out. And remember, burnout isn't so much from overwork as it is from becoming disconnected from what gives us life and energy. We don't burn out from working too much. I mean, we do sometimes. But really, that comes from disintegration. When we lose our sense of who we are and who we are in the eyes of God. Teresa of Avila suggests that this is the time when we feel we're beginning to get a little bit frayed at the edges and we think we might be burning out. This is a time for something she calls the prayer of recollection, where we acknowledge that amid the push and pull of this life, our souls have kind of forgotten themselves. They've in a way forgotten how to pray or even how to be. And so what she calls us to do is simply present ourselves to God, not with words, not with an agenda or a spiritual game plan, but rather with the trust that God knows what to do with us and that God will restore us to wholeheartedness. The prayer of recollection is a prayer of abandonment. It's almost like leaving ourselves on God's doorstep and knowing that God will take us in and know exactly what to do to bind us up and heal us. Jesus goes to the deserted place, I think in part because of recollection. Not to have some introvert time with a good cup of coffee and a great book, but rather to reconnect to the wellsprings of grace. Now, he doesn't stay there very long, does he? He is not by himself for very long, if at all. The passage leaves open the possibility that he never actually makes it. The people quickly find him, and Jesus, he jumps right back into it. And this is how I know this is not about him being an introvert. He sees the crowd coming, and they're, rather than saying what a true introvert would say, which is, ugh, and then be there for them, Jesus looks upon them, and immediately he has compassion for them. Jesus has compassion. It is real. It is authentic. And compassion, by the way, it is not pity. It is not fixing the situation, nor does it mean embracing one's martyrdom to make everybody else feel a little better in the moment. Compassion means looking upon another human being and seeing the presence of God in them, and of being alert to their suffering. Compassion takes a lot of self-awareness and a knowledge of one's own belovedness. Jesus has compassion for the crowds because he himself has been to the wellspring of grace, and it has restored his sense of who he is and just how much he loves these people. The wellspring restores our compassion. It is grace that pours into us and through us back out into the world. Now, once Jesus begins teaching and healing again, but it soon becomes clear that they have come all of this way, and there they are out in the deserted place together, and they've been there for hours, but they have nothing to eat. They had come this far, and they had found him. They had found the healing presence of Jesus, but there was no food because they were in the middle of nowhere. So the deserted places are great for spiritual awakening, but finding a good salad, not so much. That's what the dense places have to offer that the deserted places do not. Years ago, Edward Glaser wrote in Triumph of the City how great cities have always been places where people would come for economic opportunity, places where human creativity and industry thrived. And that is very much the story of Cleveland. That's where you build cathedrals, by the way. If you want a quality art museum or a good sports team or a good gluten-free meal, then the deserted place is not where you go. It was the same for the crowd. There was nothing for them there out in the wilderness. And so the disciples told Jesus, send them back to the village, because that's where they will actually find some food. That was a rational answer to the problem. It's really the best way to care for them, they said to Jesus. But one of the gifts of this story, the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, is that it teaches us that grace is not going to be found in those places where we provide for ourselves, either through self-reliance or through those places of human industry. Those things are not bad, but they are not grace. Grace is an overflowing gift that we find in places where we are completely and totally reliant upon God. Jesus fixed a crowd, Jesus fed the crowds. That'd be a strange gospel passage, wouldn't it? Jesus fixed the crowds. Done. Jesus fed the crowds not to fix a need, but to shower them with the grace that they wouldn't have recognized had they been depending on their own ability or their perceived sense of worthiness. Grace took the incarnate form of loaves and fishes and appeared not at the busy crossroads, but at the deserted places where we have no choice but to rely on the goodness of God. And there we discover just how beautiful that goodness is. By the way, how many loaves and fishes were there exactly? We are given a very specific number. Is that significant? Does it represent the five baker families of Nazareth or the two tribes of Galilean fishmongers? I think that curious number has no relationship to the size of the crowd, and that's the point. And that tells us something more important. The measure of the meal is the telltale sign of grace. It was just enough, but somehow it was overflowing. Five loaves and two fish should have never been anywhere close to meeting the need, but somehow it did. And somehow it was just enough. Enough didn't mean that their coolers were filled. It meant that they had what they needed. And then, when the meal was done, it turned out to be a picture of abundance. The hallmark of grace is that it is paradoxically just enough, yet somehow overflowing. Jesus went to the deserted place, and there in the solitude, he was restored. He went to the wellspring of grace and turned around and poured it out for the crowd who had found him. It was somehow just enough. Yet, as always, the grace of God was a generous plenty. Amen.